Who's the most charismatic person you know, and what makes them charismatic? It's not an easy thing to pin down, but there are times when being able to work out that you've fallen under the spell of a person because you find them charismatic might be useful. Dr. Kim Peters is a senior lecturer in psychology at the University of Queensland. G'day, Kim.
Hi, Amanda.
So what is it, do you reckon, that makes someone charismatic?
Well, that's the, I guess, the big question that researchers are really trying to address. So people have been interested in this idea of charisma for well over 100 years now. And I think charisma always used to be seen as the answer to understanding why people are influenced by other people. So it's like, this person's a good leader because they're charismatic. But the next question then is, what is charisma? And what we know is that all of us feel like we can recognize it. We know it when we see it. But then when we try to probe into that, it becomes quite difficult to actually figure out what it is.
And is someone, you know, I might find one person charismatic, but maybe you wouldn't. I mean, you know, there's a difference between, you know, what you and I might find a charismatic person, but would they have traits in common?
So original ideas were really that there was something about the person's personality, that you could look at their traits, and some people were just born with whatever these traits were that make them charismatic. But again, it didn't take too long before people realized that one of the problems with that is that there's a lack of consensus about who is charismatic. So maybe people look at Justin Trudeau and say he's, you know, very charismatic, but there are probably people who disagree with that. Equally with Pauline Hanson, or another very good example, of course, is Donald Trump. So what that has meant is that we've come to realize that it's not just about the person. Of course, they can engage in particular kinds of behaviors, and there is some evidence that some behaviors may be particularly associated with seeing a person as charismatic. But we've come to realize that perceptions of charisma are highly subjective. So the person who sees the charisma is a key part in that charismatic perception.
I wonder if charismatic leaders are the ones who, well, will often try and convey, you know, that they've got a grand vision, a plan, but also kind of work on the emotions more than reason.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I wouldn't say it's not about having reason, but it's certainly about bringing that something hot to the leadership conversation. So when we talk about charisma and the kind of behaviors that are associated with charismatic leadership, certainly emotion plays a really big role in it. And as does the idea of having some really compelling vision. So I guess you can say it's leaders who manage to communicate that there's some meaningful and really important purpose or mission that we should rally around. And really infuse us with enthusiasm around that are more likely to be seen as charismatic.
That, though, means that charismatic people can make you do things you might not otherwise have done. I mean, I'm thinking, for example, I guess about cult leaders, you know, who must almost definitionally be charismatic.
You know, first of all, for leaders to kind of pull you in, they have to articulate a vision that's appealing from the get-go. And this is why charismatic leaders can be very divisive. So, for instance, Trump, his vision of Make America Great Again and what that means in terms of building walls and boundaries appeals very much to some people, but right at the outset puts a lot of people off. So I think there has to be something that aligns with followers to get them to want to follow. But I guess once you've been pulled in by that appealing vision, then a charismatic leader might be able to kind of shape it somewhat, so you end up going in a direction that maybe you didn't initially buy into. And potentially in that way, you can end up doing things that you didn't really, that you might not in hindsight feel comfortable about.
So Kim, what are the theories about then how and why we are drawn to people we see as charismatic?
People have postulated about why we might respond to certain kinds of leaders who have these grand visions, who are more appealing in certain ways. And you could provide a kind of evolutionary argument around that, which is that these are people who are very effective at kind of harnessing all the energy and the power within a group of people and directing them in some kind of functional, you know, in something that really helps the group. So from an evolutionary perspective, you could say that we should orient towards people people who we think are going to be very effective at allowing our group to achieve what we want to achieve. And so, you know, that sort of makes sense, I guess. Of course, we can't have any hard evidence for whether it really is evolutionary in a hard way, but I think it does provide us with some reasoning for why we might look for charisma in others.
Now, I would think of charisma as being a quality that you either have or you don't. You're kind of born with it or you're not. But actually, can you learn to be a bit more charismatic?
Yes, there is some recent evidence which suggests that you can. So there's a psychologist in Switzerland, John Antonakis, who's done some really fascinating experimental research around this. What he's done is actually brought leaders into the lab and kind of trained them into use various kinds of charismatic communication techniques. There's a number of different ones that he's highlighted, but some of the core ones are again around that choosing the vision, the mission statement for your group. So it's thinking about what is it about the work that your group does that is really important and meaningful. Can you frame what it is that you want people to do in such a way that it seems like a kind of some kind of grand, morally righteous goal that they're going to pursue? So if you can frame that in such a way, it really helps to inspire people because they feel like they're doing the right thing. The other thing then is really about bringing that heat into the process. So you were talking about emotion before, and indeed that is really important. And so what they train people to do is really express their emotions. And that's not only in terms of using emotion language, so talking about your passion and enthusiasm for things, but also in terms of nonverbal language, so being as animated as you can, using strong facial expressions, using lots of hand gestures. So these are all things which really communicate how strongly you believe about something to your followers. And it can kind of be infectious. It can sort of make them much more enthusiastic about it as well.
Is it useful, though, as just you and me, to be alert to those things in a leader, to be able to sort of understand and distinguish what's going on there that is, you know, ultimately kind of a bit manipulative?
Well, I think it can be manipulative or maybe not. I mean, I think some people would say it's actually just about being effective. So you think if you've got a leader who really can't be bothered to explain why you're doing something and seems really bored and treats the job as if it's trivial, I would say that that's not just being non-manipulative. That's actually just not doing your job. So I think to some degree, utilizing some of the charismatic techniques are actually just part of trying to communicate and connect effectively with followers. The question then is, do you really believe what you're doing? Do you really think that this job is important and meaningful and that there is something to really rally your followers around? I would say as long as you're doing that, then it's not really manipulative. I think it's manipulative when you're trying to use that process for your own personal egotistical gains. Getting back to your question, though, I do think that, yes, given that it might be that some leaders do try and use these processes for bad rather than good, it is worth being a little bit aware of our responses. But I think the thing about the charisma is it's a perception that we are attuned to. We do see it out there in the world. And so I guess it can be useful to step back and say, well, why am I responding this way to this person? And if I think about the vision that they're selling, is it really a vision that I buy into?
And Dr. Kim Peters is a senior lecturer in psychology at Queensland University. Kim, great to talk to you about this subject. It's so interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Life Matters.